Gospel according to John, chapter 14. I'd like us to read from the verse number 22 to the end of this chapter. John 14, 22. In this part of Gospel, as recorded by John, we see that the Lord is teaching very intensively in the books where the direct quotation of the words of our Lord is in red. You can see a lot of red lines here. Verse 22 starts or presents to us a question from one of the disciples of the Lord concerning the teaching that the Lord is giving here. John 14:22. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye loved me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and hath nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise. Let us go hence. Let us now take a moment for prayer to the Lord. Heavenly Father, here we are facing another passage in the Scripture. The words that Thou hast given to Thy Son, our Lord and Savior. The words that He has given to us. The words that we have received, passed on to us by the apostles all the time, guided and guarded by Thy Holy Spirit. Lord, it appears that Thy disciples at that time, at least not all of them, were able, and maybe as we often are today, maybe they also were not willing to understand. Gracious Lord, our loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy patience with us. And as we look into Thy Holy Word, and we look into our hearts, and we see that we cannot understand as much as Thou art revealing, we wonder how much more Thou art seeing in our hearts that we do not see yet. Lord God Almighty, the more we receive Thy Holy Word, the more we see our hearts, and the closer we get to the heart of Thy Son. O Father, we know not if we understand when we think we do. And if we are willing to understand when we think we cannot. Gracious Lord Almighty God, we pray for that gentle and mighty power of Thy Spirit O gracious and loving, righteous and holy, Heavenly Father, in Christ Jesus, by the mighty and gentle power of Thy Spirit, obtain and keep Thine own victory in our hearts. Thy loving Lordship in our daily walk, Thy might and power by Thy Spirit working in our heart and mind, soul and body, that we may offer an offering worthy of Thy calling, sanctified by Thy Spirit, enlightened by Thy Holy Word as a living testimony, O Lord God Almighty, our soul and mind wholly given to Thee, in full obedience, faithfulness, and zeal as the flame upon the altar of the most holy faith, faith in that corner, living stone, which Thou hast placed in Zion, to build up Thy church upon that one firm foundation, O Lord, that we, having been brought to the feet of the Savior, that we also as living rocks may be built into that holy building of faith, upon that foundation as a holy nation, as Thy royal priesthood, the people that Thou hast raised to declare the goodness and might of Thy holy name in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Knowing, O Heavenly Father, that that crooked and perverse generation, according to the flesh, according to the descent, is ours also. For Thou hast plucked us out from the darkness, and Thou hast transferred us into Thy light, O Lord. Thou hast placed our feet upon the path of righteousness, and now we pray, O Lord, give us strength and clear discernment of Thy word, and true obedience and faithfulness to Thy will, that we be not lame on both sides, but with a sure step by step walking upon the path to eternal glory. And as Thou art leading us, O Lord, toward that heavenly mansion, give us grace to be meek and humble, and in self-denial to take the burden of the cross upon our shoulders, knowing, O Heavenly Father, that Christ our Shepherd is leading the way, that the Lamb of God, our sacrifice, our Redeemer, is still bearing the greatest part of the burden, and that we are given only as much as necessary for us to taste of the suffering upon the face of this earth, that we may not be lost and mixed with darkness. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy goodness and mercy. We praise Thee, O Lord, for that peace that Thou hast given, and we pray, O Father, that Thou forgive us when we are restless, when we are shaking with fear, when we are tired with worries, when we are weak. O Lord, when we are discouraged, looking at the difficulties, at the threats, at the false accusations, remembering unjust condemnations, and forgetting, Lord, that right here is the fountain of life. The table of the Lord, the living bread, the river of grace, the abundance of goodness and mercy, and the fellowship of thy Spirit that gives true peace and joy of thy salvation. Oh, we pray, O Heavenly Father, bless thy word and multiply it. Lead thy people and teach us. Make us faithful and multiply the fruits of thy Spirit, O Lord. Make us meek and humble, that we may continually sit at the feet of the Savior and learn that good and choicest part that will never be taken away from those that are thine. Oh, make us and keep us thine own, O God. Lead us and teach us. Watch over us and protect us. Make us and keep us the heirs of the heavenly kingdom, the bearers of the holy testimonies, the willing offerings upon the altar to thy name's honor and glory through the mediation of our great high priest, in whose name we pray and praise thy name, O Father. Amen. As I was thinking this morning, probably under the influence of the songs that we have sang, about the question in the verse number 22 of this chapter 14, Gospel according to John, quite a few, I should say, unusual thoughts came to my mind from the years long and passed away, from the time long ago, where we were in the faith and where are we today, and perhaps where we are not today and we should be, and where we are and we should not be, and similar things, you know, and similar questions. What is our direction? I remember way back when my father, I'm talking about my dad, was alive, and he said that such and such minister in such church is a real godly man. When he stands up to preach, he looks only into the book and he does not look left or right, back and forth. He just looks in the book and he stands still and he talks. He does not speak too loud. He does not speak too soft. He just keeps a monotone, you know. He's a real godly man. I was younger at that time, and at times my dad's words meant so much to me, and at times I didn't pay enough attention to his words, which is either my personality, my weakness, or maybe more general human weakness. But in any case, I watched the life of that minister. He is still around today. I still know something about their church, and I see that this man is quite a Gentile, that he is quite a Pharisee. I see that his way of thinking is often very ungodly, politicizing, not witnessing to the truth, and compromising the gospel, and seeing that the will of God is revealed not only in the word of God, but sometimes through the leaders of his church, rather having preeminence or priority and so on. Well, I wonder why Judas asked this question. For what reason he was not able, or I would think that the others were also not able to understand, what does that mean? That the Lord will manifest himself unto his disciples, his believers, and not unto the world. I imagine at that time, when our Lord Jesus Christ was teaching the people, and there were multitudes of the people, that the disciples would be around him, and so in some way they felt separated from the world, but as soon as the world was away, it didn't mean anything to them. They were only separated so that the world can see that they are something else. I wonder if my words explain what I mean to say. You see, if our holiness, our godliness depend on the world seeing it, then we are still in the world. Then we are still part of the world. It's very important to us how the world is looking at us, how the other people look at us and consider us. Since I mentioned something from that happened so long ago, I could go even further. In the past, I know that for some people might be still difficult that we share our experiences in the light of what we are reading and learning from the Word of God. And I know that there are quite a few around us that feel that we should not tell stories, just the Word of God, just keep the Word of God and nothing else. And that can be very good if there is application, if we are learning from that Word of God. If we think we are reading and teaching the Word of God and we don't know what that word means to us or what it means in our daily walk today, well, are we not hypocrites and Pharisees also? It's so easy to be godly and ungodly. I remember way back, that was sometimes in, I think, 1964 or 1965, when we were just a few of us, 6-7 of us believers were living together in the same prison. And when you live together and you have the same threats and the same difficulties and the same needs, often you have the same struggles in the faith and the same joy because you live as a household, you know. Even though we were scattered throughout that prison and only on Sunday and sometimes on the weekdays in the evening we managed to get together and share the word or share the thriftings of daily walk that didn't have much of spiritual value. But we were people in the flesh. And there was a young brother. We all were young, between, I should say, 20 and 25, 6 years of age. And one that was at that time, I think, 22, 3 years old, we elected him to be our minister, to read to us the scripture Sunday morning. He was a very simple brother and rather, I should say, in many things, innocent, childlike brother, and I loved him because of that, which does not mean he didn't have his struggles and difficulties like every one of us. Well, one Saturday evening he said to me, I'm sorry, I won't be able to read the scripture for you tomorrow because I feel guilty and this and that happened to me, and well, I don't remember exactly his words, but he felt that he is under conviction and he shouldn't be standing up and reading to the rest of us. He is unworthy of doing that. And so I wondered what to do, because when something like that happens, it usually happens to the others too. So I thought, well, let's pray about that and then we'll talk about that again. And when we talked about that later on that evening, I said, I would like you to do this. This would be my suggestion or advice. Think about that and pray about that and see if you feel led by the Lord to do that, what I suggest to you. Find something in the scripture that would be appropriate for this condition of your heart. If you feel guilty, if you regret what happened, what you did or what I did, and maybe I influenced or did had some wrong impact on you and so on, and that's why you feel like that. So find something in the scripture that is appropriate to read, and then you read the scripture and then offer a prayer to the Lord that is appropriate for that condition of your heart. You never know, maybe the rest of us need the same. And so he did that. And then next morning, Sunday morning, as he read the scripture and as he prayed very emotionally, after the service, everybody is quiet. Nobody is talking. And some of us were quite impressed and felt that it quite appropriately applies to us. And with some, the enemy had more influence, and they felt that all of that, or at least one of the brothers or believers felt that all of that was intentional scenario. You know, all of that was acted out just to rebuke him. You see how the Spirit of the Lord is working and how the spirit of the world is working all the time. And so why Judas, and we read here he was not Judas Iscariot, it was, this one was a sincere disciple, real disciple of the Lord, and yet he could not understand, what does that mean? Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Does that mean that, I don't know exactly what was in his heart, what was his question, but I imagine that perhaps my question would be, if I could not understand it, does that mean that the Lord will become underground, illegal citizen of that country? Or how is he going to be in contact with his disciples and not seen, not noticed by the world? What is the meaning of his words? The preceding verse 21 says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. I think that one of the things that was not helpful to the disciples, or one of their difficulties that also may be one of our difficulties, is that they did not relate the scriptures of the past with the things that were taking place in the teaching of the Lord at that time. Did not the Lord manifest himself to the prophets? They knew the will of God. Did not the Lord reveal to Elisha the prophet that there is heavenly host covering the hills and valleys of all over the country, surrounding the host of the Syrians that came to arrest the prophet, to take him away, because the rulers in the land of Syria, the captains of the army, told to the king of Syria that whatever the king of Syria is whispering in his bedroom, the prophet Elisha is telling openly and freely to the king of Israel. And that was an unbearable thing for the mighty king of Syria. Well, we know the story, what happened to the end. And if we don't, we can find that place and read it. But in any case, my point here, or the point that I wanted to expose, is the power of God was manifested to the prophet Elisha, and not to the world, not to the Syrians, not to the Hebrews around, just to the prophet Elisha. So he was separated from the world. But he was not separated by that revelation of the power of God in the first place. He was separated from sin in the first place. He was separated from a narrow of earthly interest and earthly fears and preoccupation with this life that the Lord Jesus so plainly and clearly told us, do not worry, do not even pray what you shall eat and drink and what raiment you shall put on and so on. Do not worry. He didn't say don't labor. He didn't say don't do right and proper things in season. No, he just said do not overwhelm yourselves with fears and worries. Well, even by that, we should be separated from the world. The things that are most important in the world should not be the most important things to us, but rather the ways and means by which the most important things and intentions are manifested, demonstrated. Money is not the most important thing to a Christian. The most important thing to a Christian money-wise is how he is managing, what kind of a steward he is. It's not the most important thing to a Christian what kind of retirement he is going to have, but how he is going to live to the end of his earthly journey, and so on. That's how we should be separated from the world. We should be separated from the world by the way of thinking, feeling, believing, and then working, acting, doing what the will of the Lord is. And all time, all along that path, we should be separated from the world by the awareness of God's power and His government. His ruling. He's the king. And we are His subjects. We are the servants of His kingdom, the citizens of His kingdom. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ is explaining, answering to Judas, and of course, I believe, to the rest of the disciples. If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. Well, is that not the same thing in verse 21? Let's read it again. Verse 21. He that has my commandments and keeps them, he is the one that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Now here we might think about the separation in a different way. The Lord Jesus Christ says, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. He gives sunshine and rain and the needs of this life to those that are godly and to those that are not godly. Now, in receiving all the visible and physical or material earthly blessings, we are not necessarily separated from the world, nor bound or tied closely into the fellowship of the Lord Jesus Christ. But how are we separated from the world? How is the Lord manifested to us? Verse 21 says, he that has my commandments. Well, does not everyone has his commandments? Even in the White House, they put their hand on the Bible and give their oath. Don't they have the commandments of God? No, they don't. They have their earthly interest. We have what we love. We have what we pursue. When we have the Lord in our heart, we walk after him. When we have the world in our heart, we walk after the world. Just as simple as that. And yet it's very complicated. We cannot do both. And our struggles and our problems stem out from that intention. Half the servant of the Lord and half the friend of this world. I'm so sorry I offended everybody, including myself. And yet I'm not. Praise the Lord. Let's face the facts. Leave the world and follow the Lord. He that has my commandments and keeps them. Not he that has my commandments in the book. That's not enough. He that keeps my commandments, he is the one that loves me. And we can love with joy and we can love with tears. We can love with ease. I don't remember when that happened last time. Perhaps it should have happened, but somehow I missed it. But we can also love with effort up to the limit. He that loves me, he is the one that keeps my commandments. He that keeps my commandments is the one that loves me. So, the love of God is the action of the Spirit in us and through us. I didn't think about that before. It just happened as I look into this verse. He that loves me shall be loved of my Father. Well, I mentioned just a few minutes ago that the Father is revealing His love and His blessings, giving His blessings to the world, to the whole world. Food and raiment, sunshine, rain, everything that we need, gentle wind, and of course we need some floods and some earthquakes and so on. He's giving us that too. But does that mean, that the world is in a way equal to us? How are we to be separated from the world? Well, Job was separated from the world. And what did he say to his wife? What? Good things we received from the Lord, and the evil things we shall not receive. God gave and God took away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So there are so many. Now I remember. When the Lord was teaching the world, and his disciples were around the world, around the Lord, listening, and obviously they were his disciples, his close associates, and the circle of his believers, and so on, then they might have felt separated from the world. But when the Lord is teaching everybody, the world and the disciples, then the disciples will ask, Lord, are you telling these words to everybody? Or to us only? Or what is, we want to know who we are, what we are, where we are. No, we like to be separated by honor, by good recognition, by exaltation and so on. But there is only one way that we should be separated from the world, and that is obeying the word of God. Doing His will. He that has my commandments and keeps them, He is the one that loves me. And he that is that loves me shall be loved of my Father. I mentioned that the Father revealed His love to the whole world in giving material blessings. But the whole world is not aware, not willing to see and understand and appreciate the love of the Father. But those that are separated from the world, we, the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, should appreciate the blessings that are earthly and should crave and pray for the blessings that are spiritual. It's easy to do the other way around. Well, I'll be thankful if God makes me really strong in faith, but really I'm too busy laboring for material things. Or I'm too busy desiring earthly material blessings or property or good life, comfortable life and so on. When we do the commandments of the Lord, we love Him. And then we are enabled to feel the love of the Father. There is no greater joy, John the Apostle, the same Apostle, wrote in his epistle, he has no greater joy than to see that his children in faith walk in truth. They keep the word of God. They did not compromise the gospel message with the contemporary style of the world. So, we are loved of the Father, but we know that we are loved when we are in obedience. And then the Lord says, and I will love him. So there is no love of the Father separated from the love of the Lord Jesus, nor the love of the Lord Jesus separated from the Father. It's one love. There is only one love. God is love. And there is one love. Everything else that we might love but is not godly is hatred. It's not love. It's idolatry. It's not holiness. So, the Lord says, I will love him, my Father will love him, and both the Father and the Son will manifest
be manifested to him, to that kind of believer, to that kind of a brother or sister, to a brother or sister that lives in Christ Jesus. So Judas is asking that question, and the Lord is repeating the answer. If a man loves me, he will keep my words. It's just impossible to love the Lord and be contrary to his word. If a man loves me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him. And we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Well, let's say I started doing God's commandments. I don't know the whole scripture. I learn something and I obey what I know. And I learn next thing, and I obey the next thing and the next thing. And I struggle and I pray and I seek the Lord's way and so on. And that's a battle. But if I continue in obedience, growing in obedience, I receive a growing sense, awareness of the Father's love for me. And that love is revealed to me through Christ Jesus, through his redemption, through his sacrifice, through his fellowship in his Spirit, always through the grace unto obedience. We will make our abode with him. We will dwell in that heart, in that mind, the Spirit of the Almighty God has chosen a very humble, a very modest, oh, I could say meager, tiny, one-room apartment in our heart. But it must be all of our heart. We cannot have separated compartments in our heart, locked from him. If we do that, we will damage our ability to enjoy the love of our Father and the fellowship of the Spirit of our Savior. The Lord says again in the verse 24 the same thing, just in a negative form, reversed. He says, he that loveth me not. Now that is the difference. That's the separation from the world. Those that love the Lord are his own. Those that love him not belong to the world. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. Now in this verse the Lord is not separating him from the Father. The unity stands. Nothing will break it. It's an eternal, everlasting unity. Father and the Son, they have the same Spirit. And that's as mysterious and as amazing and as wonderful as it can be. I wish I could understand it more, but as little as I do, it's already so much and so wonderful, so glorious. The Lord says, the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. What is the Lord saying? The teaching that I present to you is nothing like the leading or the persuasion of Judas. Remember the one that was mentioned by Gamaliel in the book of Acts? He said that this man convinced a number of people to follow him, and he made some insurrection, and it was a movement, a military movement. They intended to change something in the established order or disorder of the things in their society and so on. And he was killed, and all his followers were scattered, and that's gone into nothing. And then there was another one in that historical period, I think, and so on. And Gamaliel said, leave these disciples of Jesus alone. If it's man-made religion, it won't last. But if it's of God, you better watch it. You cannot fight and gain victory against God. It's so amazing, it's wonderful to hear a Pharisee saying such a truth. I think it's glorious that God is so strong and His Spirit overpowered the spirit of Phariseeism and speaks the truth in the congregation of ungodly, evil, wicked, bloody people. Well, God has His power. So the words that we read, the gospel, the teaching of the Lord, is not the teaching of Jesus of Nazareth, is not the teaching of the son of Mary, especially not the teaching of the son of Joseph. No. The words that the Lord Jesus Christ is telling us are the words of the Father. And who has seen the Son, truly has seen Him, has seen the Father. And the Lord says, He that loves me not, does not keep my sayings. Now, it's not just commandments. It's not do this and do that, and don't do this and don't do that. It's the teaching, it's the spirit of the gospel. The word of God, the teaching of the word of God. And what about the Ten Commandments? What about all the commandments that we find in this book? It's the teaching for us. It was a do and do not law for the Hebrews, and that's where they missed the point. That's where they did not understand the will of God. If they understood the spirit of the commandments of God, they would have welcomed the Lord Jesus Christ with wide open arms and also on their knees. But they rebelled because they first rebelled against Moses and the law. And they first rebelled against the prophets or the message of the prophets because that was the word of God. They rebelled against the word of God. That's why they could not accept the Lord Jesus as the Savior and the Messiah and the Redeemer. And it's very important for us that we learn the teaching, not do's and don'ts. Now, if we are under the grace, shall we continue in sin? God forbid, the apostle said. The teaching for us should be not only as strong as the commandments, but stronger. It's not just give one tenth to the Lord. It's give your all and yourself, the apostle says in an epistle. We don't seek what is yours, but you. And when we have you for the Lord Jesus Christ, then we have everything. That's the gospel. Starting with Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God. And then everything is the will of God. His new creation. So, the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my saying, believes not, and practices not my teaching. The word of God. These things I have spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. You see, if I'm wrong, please correct me in the due time. But I feel that the Lord has compassion on us, and that's why He's talking this way. You see what our difficulty is? We, the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, when we are not open and willing to understand and accept the teaching that He is applying to us this moment, we usually want to know ahead of the time. We want to know what's coming after. How is that going to be? You see, even Judas is not concerned about their present misunderstanding or lack of understanding or insufficient understanding of the Lord's teaching, but he is concerned with something that is coming in the future. Jivas, just wait and see. It's coming. Just wait. It will be here very soon. But he says, Lord, how is it? How can it be? Nicodemus, when he came to the Lord secretly that night in John's Gospel chapter 3, when the Lord said, Nicodemus, you must be born again. And Nicodemus didn't say, well, I just said, Rabbi, you are a teacher come from God, so whatever you say, help me, I want to get born again. If that is the message of God, let me do that. No, he didn't say that. He said, how can that be? How can that be? I'm too big to be born again. And he was right, but he did not know. He was right. He was way too big. And the Lord told him that. You are a teacher in Israel, a ruler, and you don't know these basic things? You are interested in heaven and heaven above heavens, but what is here on this earth, the new birth, you cannot understand it? Because you are not willing. Submit. Obey. Lower yourself under the mighty arm of God. He will exalt you. When we lower ourselves and let Him rule in our heart and control our life, then He will exalt us. If we did lower ourselves, if we humble ourselves truly, then we will experience that exaltation almost instantly. He will exalt us above our rulership, our awfully dangerous and threatening leadership. He will exalt us under His leadership, and we will be the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, he that loves me not keeps not my commandments. I told you these things. The Lord is not telling them, he that shall love me shall keep my commandments. He that shall not love me shall not keep my commandments. He's talking about present time. Now, if you love me, you keep my word. And do not worry nor fear the future. Just walk step by step as I guide you, as I lead you and protect you, and do what I tell you. You love me, keep my word. That's all. And he says, I'm telling you these things while I'm present with you. Here am I, and this is for this time. Of course, the same rule continues forever. But look into that. Focus on that. What I'm giving you now, I'm giving you the next step. And then you will get the next step. You will not be left alone. So, the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. Don't be afraid of the things that you don't know yet. You don't need them yet. You will receive them when the time comes. But now, just do what I tell you. The Comforter will bring all things to your remembrance. Oh, you see what the problem was? They had so much of the teaching of the Lord that they forget. And so do we. That's amazing how we remember our habits. They are in the system. They are programmed in our behavior. And we forget the words that the Lord told us. But those words are powerful to change our poor habits. And they can help us to serve the Lord. The Lord says that that Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of faithfulness, obedience, will bring to our remembrance, to our memory. He will refresh our memory. Remember, in the Word of God is this and that. And that's what you need to apply right now. Next step, this and that again. Apply right now. And it goes. The Lord says, do not be troubled. Do not be afraid. I give you, I leave you my peace. Well, they were restless. They didn't have peace. What peace he leaves to them? Well, he was not restless. He was peaceful. How was he peaceful? Not mine, but thine will be done. That's the peace of God. After such a prayer, the angels came to comfort, to encourage, to strengthen him. Well, I believe that the angels were around all the time. But at this moment, the Lord is teaching again a very important lesson. When we are in a struggle, when we are in a difficult time, difficult, steep battle, and we pray that the Father's will be done, not mine, we will see the angels. We'll be aware of the help that the Lord is providing, the protection, the encouragement, everything becomes ours. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. That's not the peace behind the strong and big walls. That's not the peace that is secured by the war airplanes and the intercontinental missiles and similar things. No, no, no. All of that will come to its end, but the peace of God abideth forever. That's the peace of unity with Christ. And you know, in my great weakness and my limited experience, I remember that peace even when my whole body was shaking with fear. It's such a peace that prevails against the fear that we have in the flesh. But when that peace is growing, when that peace is so great, when our surrendering to the will of the Father is so complete as it was in the heart of Stephen, one of the early martyrs, then we can see, even when the stones were bruising his body and actually killing him, he didn't say, like Zacharias the priest, may the Lord see and judge. Stephen said, Father, or Lord Jesus, I think he said, Lord Jesus, do not charge this sin to them. Lead them to repentance. Let them find what thou hast given me and the others of thine. And then he said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Ah, such a peace. Such a joy. Such a victory. One of the bitter enemies of the gospel got hit with that peace. Peace of the fellowship in Christ. And when he fell down in the flash of that light of the Lord's appearance, he had only one question. Not how many Christians more should be destroyed. Oh no, he forgot instantly about that. He said, Lord, what wilt thou have me do? He didn't ask what I should believe. Doesn't matter what I do, as long as I believe and trust in Jesus and God's grace covers everything and I'll continue killing the Christians. No, 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 no. That's the modern patent or device, and I believe it's a device of Satan. But he said, what wilt thou have me do? Because he already believed. And everyone that truly believes has that one question. What is the Lord's will for me to do? And so, the Lord says, I leave my own peace unto you. Not as the world gives. I don't give that assurance. You will have tribulation in the world. You will have suffering. But I leave my own peace with you. And the world does not know that peace. But let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Do not allow Satan to torture you. Do not torture yourself with the fear and troubles of the world. Just follow the Lord. And rest assured, the Lord will take care of everything. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye loved me, ye would rejoice because I said, I go unto the Father. For my Father is greater than I myself. My Father is greater than I. I know that men are capable of misunderstanding these words, even though they are very, very clear. The Son is honoring the Father, glorifying the Father, declaring the glory and the majesty of the Father, and the Son is doing that in a great meekness and humility. Such a love for the Father. Such faithful commitment to doing the will of the Father. And when I say commitment, it somehow sounds insufficient. We make commitments and sometimes we manage to perform them. But the Lord Jesus Christ had that in His nature. And that's the new nature that we are asking and praying for, that should be ours. We just live in Christ and we just do the will of the Father, because what else can we do? That's the only right thing to do, the will of the Father. And that's our comfort, our joy, our encouragement. Well, the Lord says, if ye loved me, if ye had the same relationship with me that I have with my Father, you would have rejoiced because I said, I go unto the Father. For my Father is greater than I. Well, didn't we rejoice when we realized that we came to the Lord Jesus Christ, that He has, so to say, apprehended us, that we are His now. He has separated us from the world, and we experience His fellowship, His blessing, His leadership, His lordship, and we love it, and we rejoice in that. And the closer we are to the Lord Jesus Christ, the greater is our joy in Him. And so, that's what I believe the Lord Jesus is teaching us. Going unto the Father is a joy. Now, was He not with the Father all the time? And the Father with Him? Yes. But we remember when the Lord was coming from the Mount of Transfiguration with three of His disciples, and there comes to meet Him a man who had a son in a very difficult, under a very difficult condition, tortured by an evil spirit, and when the Father said, Lord, or teacher, or rabbi, have mercy upon us, if you can do something, help us. Thy disciples were not able to do anything to help us, and so on. And the Lord answered, O faithless and perverse generation, how long I shall be with you, how long shall I suffer you? For a holy, perfectly pure, righteous God to be surrounded by the world of sin and iniquity is not an easy thing. It's not an easy thing for us either. But the closer we are to Him, the more united we are with Him, the greater is our joy. And so for Him, the further away He is from the presence of sin, it's a great joy in His Father. But I see that this verse 28, especially that I go unto the Father, is beyond my ability, or should I say, I don't know if that is English, it's outside of my inability of explaining it. Well, and the time is past. May the Lord bless His word and reveal much more to all of us, and multiply the gospel message in our walk, that we may also do as the Lord said to His disciples, arise and let us go hence. Let us go to the next experience. Next, honoring and glorifying the Father. Next step of peace, even though in this very case it was leading through enormous suffering and agony beyond description. And yet the Lord was glorified, and He is victorious, and His ultimate triumph is coming. Blessed be His name. Amen.